Fruiting bodies, the quiet intelligence of the Pacific Northwest Falls, a Mosaic Mind podcast by Krishnan Iyer. There's a particular stillness that arrives in the Pacific Northwest when the rains return, the ground softens, the moss brightens. And if you listen closely, it almost feels like the forest is breathing again. That's when the mushrooms start to rise, quiet messengers from a world beneath our feet. But here's the thing most people don't realize. What we call a mushroom isn't the organism. It's just the fruit, the visible expression of something far greater. Beneath every step you take lies a vast living network called mycelium, a lattice of microscopic threads that connect trees, plants, and soil in a web of exchange and communication. In other words, the forest is not a collection of individual trees. It's a single conversation. A few weeks ago, I joined an edible mushroom foraging class in the KCLS Library Kirkland branch, led by Angela, the founder of Forage Seattle. We gathered in a community room as she laid out baskets filled with mushrooms she'd harvested in the last 3 days. Chanterelles, the color of sunset, oyster mushrooms blooming from alderwood, lobster mushrooms with coral red skin, and the prized matsutake, rare, fragrant, and nearly impossible to cultivate. Angela said something I'll never forget. Every one of these came from the forest this week. None of them can be made in a lab. Someone has to step into the woods to find them. That's when it hit me. Foraging isn't just about food. It's about learning to walk at the pace of nature again. Each of these mushrooms tells its own story, biologically and spiritually. The chanterelle, with its apricot scent and golden hue, grows in symbiosis with conifer roots. Its ridges, not true gills, make it distinct from lookalikes and easy for beginners to recognize. Oyster mushrooms, delicate white fans, grow on decaying alderwood. They're beautiful, yes, but also fierce. They release a microscopic paralytic fluid that stuns tiny worms before digesting them. A vegan's paradox, a carnivorous fungus. Lobster mushrooms are something else entirely. The result of a fungal infection. A plain white mushroom becomes overgrown by another species, transformed into that brilliant red-orange crustacean scent. An infection turned into art. Imperfection turned into beauty. And then there's the matsutake, or pine mushroom, revered in Japanese culture. It smells like red-hot cinnamon mixed with forest floor. In Japan, it's a symbol of purity, of autumn, of gratitude. And here, in the damp forests of Washington, it fetches over $80 a pound. But the real treasure isn't their price. It's their presence. These mushrooms appear only when the soil, temperature, and moisture are in perfect balance. A biological reflection of harmony. That's why wild mushrooms can't be mass-produced. You can grow button mushrooms in a lab. Cremenes, shiitakes, enokis, because they're detached from this ecological symphony. But chanterelles, lobsters, matsutakes, They're children of relationships. They need the tree roots, the moss, the microbial conversation beneath the surface. And maybe that's why they taste better, because they carry the flavor of interdependence. When you go into the woods looking for mushrooms, you begin to see differently. You start noticing subtle things, the slant of light through cedar branches, the texture of moss, the faint perfume of decay that signals fertile ground. Your pace slows. Your awareness widens. You realize the forest isn't waiting to reveal itself to you. It's asking whether you're ready to see. Angela taught us that finding mushrooms isn't random. You look for habitat, not for mushrooms. Find the right tree, the right soil, the right microclimate, and the fruit will follow. That's a powerful metaphor for life, isn't it? When we create the right conditions, curiosity, patience, stillness, insight appears naturally. Harvesting itself carries a kind of philosophy. People argue whether to pluck or cut a mushroom, but Angela laughed and said, "It doesn't matter. The mushroom is just the apple. The tree, the mycelium, stays underground. What matters is respect. Take only what you'll use. Leave enough for others, human and otherwise. And above all, don't disturb the web." That respect, she said, is how you earn the right to return. Cooking mushrooms has its own science and its own poetry. Angela demonstrated what she calls the dry sauté. No oil, no butter, just heat. Let the mushrooms release their water first. The sound like a soft rain hitting the pan. Wait, watch, smell. Then when they begin to brown, add butter, garlic, salt. Suddenly, they come alive. Not slimy, but savory, rich, umami, packed. That transformation happens through patience and attention. You don't rush it, you listen. It's the same lesson the forest keeps teaching. Before something can absorb warmth, it must first let go of excess. There's something healing about foraging. It's part science, part mindfulness, part treasure hunt. You're not just collecting mushrooms. You're collecting moments of awareness. You start recognizing which trees host which species. Douglas firs for chanterelles, alders for oysters, pine for matsutake. You learn that moisture and temperature dance together like partners, that too much rain washes spores away, and too little keeps them dormant. Every find becomes a small act of gratitude. And if you stay long enough, you start to feel what I can only describe as conversation. Not in words, but in pattern and presence. The forest begins to recognize you back. There's also community in this pursuit. Across Washington, mycological societies meet in libraries, parks, and trails. They share finds, debate identification, swap recipes, and occasionally argue over spore prints. It's science and folklore, curiosity, and friendship everyone becomes both student and teacher. And it's that shared all, that collective wonder, that makes foraging so human. Because in the end, foraging isn't about mushrooms. It's about belonging. The forest doesn't rush. It waits for the right balance of rain, temperature, and time. And when the moment is right, it fruits abundantly. Maybe that's the wisdom of mushrooms. That growth isn't about striving. It's about readiness. So, as fall deepens, take a walk in the woods. Leave your phone in your pocket. Notice the smell of wet cedar, the quiet glow of chanterelles under the ferns. You're not just observing nature. You're remembering that you're part of it. Beneath your feet, an ancient intelligence is whispering. Everything is connected. Everything is returning. Everything is becoming again.